Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Time Podcast. I'm joined today with my dear friend Timo, and our guest, bonjour, and our guest today is Christine Gardner. She is the manager of Expedition Sales APAC at Silversea Cruises. Welcome, Christine. How are you doing?
Hi, and thank you so much for having me. I feel very privileged to be on a podcast with, I think it's the best podcast, is that right? Number one podcast in all podcasts with yourself, Timo and Anno. So, I feel very privileged to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is actually the number one podcast, and on the latest Time, highlighted by all other podcast aspiring podcast hosts. Just kidding.
Yes. I think today it's actually a really, really interesting podcast because this is the very first time that we've had a mentor and a mentee, you know, coming together. And I think that it's going to be really interesting to explore it a bit about that relationship, you know, that we talk about when people want to join the program. My first question to you, Christine, though, is did I say your title right, or did I butcher it like I usually do?
No, all good. It's a new title, so you can you got it right. I don't remember titles, so
okay.
I'm with the hard work that goes behind the title. So.
Okay. And you know, like a kind of a little bit of a tradition on the podcast when we have new guests is to talk a little bit about the industry that they're in. So obviously you're in luxury cruising, and we usually ask about, you know, our guests to talk about trends in the industry that they would have observed recently. So that gives a bit of an insight to all our listeners to know what's coming, what's happening in your field.
So the field that I specialize in at Silversea is actually the expedition arena. Mm-hmm. So in general, the expedition space is becoming extremely popular mm-hmm. with both companies wanting to explore this area, and also from clients and trade partners who are finding more and more opportunity to talk about expedition. So when I joined the expedition arena, I actually fell into it, which is another podcast, fell into it some time ago. It was a bit of a, you know, hand-holding exercise, I guess. So from mm-hmm. those years of hand-holding, talking about expedition, what is expedition, who would travel expedition, from a cruising perspective, to now where you just say expedition and everyone's eyes light up and want to know more. So I think it really has, over just a very short amount of years, has become, you know, the new trend, positive trend for the cruise industry.
Yeah, you can really see that, like exactly what you describe when you talk about expedition to anyone, whether they are like potential guests on board or trade partners, they really come quite alive, because I think there's something quite exciting about that new kind of, like, you know, new frontier of cruising. Really, that's really good.
Yeah, it is good. And I think, look, we've been going to these regions like Antarctica and what have you for over 15 years. So I think when you've got that, the experience behind it, we can talk about it quite proudly. So when you actually travel there yourself, and it's even 10 times better than you had anticipated, what a way to go out and talk to everyone and about something that you've experienced, you love, and I'd take them on a journey, your journey with you. Mm. So, yeah, I think it's a really lovely space to be in.
Yeah, and definitely your company has been like one of the pioneers in that field. So it's I think it's probably also a lot more rewarding, you know, to talk about what's been done in that field in the last few years. Well, thank you for sharing that. Timo, did you want to ask us some questions in that sense, or should we
in regards to industry news?
Industry news, yes. What's happening in your field?
The two of you obviously are the cruise people, so that's not my expertise as such. And even throughout the time when we worked together as part of the program, we didn't really talk too much about industry detail. So I definitely don't have too much insights there. Hotel trend-wise, what has changed most recently? It's not very surprising, but we do see now internationals really come back. Like last year was still very, very predominantly domestically driven. This year, especially in the last, let's say, 3 to 4 weeks, we really start seeing all those internationals coming back in and telling us about their stories. And so that's definitely very rewarding and exciting from a hotel point of view, because we're back to what we wanted to do, be connected with the world.
Yes. Well, that's good. Well, we're back. Yeah. Right.
Sometimes I even have people from France coming over for lunch. Wouldn't believe it.
Oh, wow. You must have a really nice restaurant in your hotel.
Potentially. Not sure.
I just wonder what the quality of the croissant is there.
Well, you might have to come over for breakfast and do your full and I have to throw that story quickly in. So Christine, when Arnaud eats a croissant, it's not eating a croissant, it is the celebration of slaughtering a pastry. So first of all, he asks for a croissant with a knife, not a normal knife, like a proper knife. Then the thing is cut in half. Then he presses it down to see how quickly it expands again. Then, like a dog, sniffles all around it to see, you know, if it is properly baked. And then obviously he does the tasting. A wine tasting is already, as you know, a bit more than normal consuming. But Arnaud and eating a croissant is next level. And then he actually makes points and notes and everything. And then he has a friend that is doing that with him. We also call him his weirdo friend. And then the two of them just talk croissants nonstop.
Do you eat them? But
it's not me. That's not me, the friend, the weirdo friend.
I do eat them. But, you know, like if you want to find what is the best croissant in Sydney, for example, you need to have criteria, right, to taste it. So that's what we do.
Okay, well, also, let's talk about time criteria.
Let's talk about time and let's not talk about me. So I was saying at the beginning of today's episode, like I found that it was really interesting that, you know, like we have for the first time on the podcast, mentor and mentee. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that relationship and how you build it over time. And so I'll probably start with you, Christine, because that's quite interesting to have, you know, maybe the perspective of the mentee. When you found out that you were being paired with Timo, what was your reaction?
Well, I hadn't actually met Timo before because so that was probably a good thing. I say that in the nicest possible way.
Yes.
Because it's fresh, right? You just, you're meeting someone for the first time and it's just, let's just see where we've got some commonality and where this is going to take us. And I guess my reason for actually joining the Chime program initially was, I was very fortunate that Silver Sea did sponsor me there, was I had in my very first expedition role, I had experienced a non-official mentor and it was about the communication. You just felt like you were, the management style just was encouraging. It was problem solving. It was pushing you to do things that you may be hesitant to do. And so that was quite late in my career. And I hadn't actually experienced that before. But then when that that actually was finished, I really missed it. I missed not having, that it was just something inside me that just made me want to do better and made me want to do more. And so when I joined the Time program and Penny said to me, look, we've matched you with Timo, and she did say, you know, are you okay with that? And I said, that's fine. Because I hadn't actually met Timo. I said, no, that's fine. And then when we met for the first time, I remember coming along to when we were all introduced and I met Timo and he was just a breath of fresh air. And I thought, wow. And I'm not saying this because you're on the podcast, Timo, but I was really, he was light. He was happy. He was excited. He was well respected within the room. I could tell because everyone was coming and saying hello, and just I thought, yeah, this is going to be fun. You know, it just takes you to somewhere where you thought, I need to have some fun in my life, and I think this is where it's going to come. Plus, there's going to be some learnings as well. So that's how it sort of came about.
Yeah, I mean, Timo is very well known to be a CFO, so a chief fun officer. So I'm not surprised that you had that feeling, really. It's interesting that you're talking about the fact that you were already part of a mentorship program like prior to time. So, and that's not encouraging.
Officially.
Okay.
I just happened to meet someone as my manager later in my career that I thought, hang on a minute, this is kind of an unofficial mentor.
No mentor. Okay.
And then that's when I went and thought, okay, I need a bit more.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. How about you, Timo? Because obviously, you know, like there's probably a very different experience from your side, knowing that you are the life of the party all the time. So
You would be surprised how serious my life actually is.
Not surprised.
I was obviously also excited to be matched. And obviously as a mentor, you also think about, you know, what can I actually deliver for that person? I mentioned already before, we come from very different industries that function very differently, in very different stages of our career, in very different fields, actually, within the functionality of a company as such as well. And those who know me a bit closer know I love to work on the deeper stuff because I believe that what's actually transferring into, you know, your outcome and also into your career. And I was deeply impressed that Christine let her guards down pretty much in the first meeting. Like she was so open and honest straight away, you know, what her concerns are and what she wants to work on from also from a personality point of view. And I knew that really sets a very good base for us to be able to achieve something. Because again, this is a general statement now, if a mentee does not have that ability to be vulnerable in those meetings, you don't get out what you need. And as a mentor, you know, I can be as brilliant or as wise or as experienced as whoever in the world, I can't help if there's not that vulnerability there. And I think that defined, from my point of view, at least the whole 6 months that, you know, she always showed up and brought that vulnerability to the table, being honest with myself, but also with herself, you know, and sometimes to look in the mirror is tough. And sometimes it's very insightful. And I think we combined that quite well. So from my point of view, that first meeting was very encouraging just because I knew she would bring that to the table. And she did from the first minute. And we were sitting in the lobby, I remember, it was Sofitel and Wentworth. And we were on level 2 or 3, wherever the function rooms are. We were sitting in the lobby. So it's a kind of a busy area. People constantly walk by that knew me, that knew her. So we didn't have like a private chat where you can just let the guards down. It was kind of public, but she still did. So that was very, very encouraging. Well done, Christine.
Well done, Christine. Wow, you know, you've impressed him. That's pretty hard.
I know, you're still working on that one. No?
Yeah, no, doesn't happen to me, you know. He doesn't get impressed very easily in my books, but anyway. How often did you meet? Was it like a weekly meeting? Was it a bi-weekly meeting? How did you work it out between yourselves?
Timo, put it in very regularly.
Okay.
I was very German about that. Very German.
So it was every week between 10:30 and 11:45.
Pretty much. No, every second week we met. Okay. It was always a Friday, and I think our standard time was 2 o'clock. Every now and then we pushed it back to 3.
Okay. Wow. That's quite good. But did you? Okay. So you know, we talked, you know, at a few events about that kind of hybrid model of people meeting on, you know, virtually and people meeting face to face. Like, what did you decide to do, you know, when it comes to meeting? How did that work for you?
We met face to face, and then Timo was really amazing at the end, towards the end. He was like, let's do some more, just to make sure that we finished off, you know, we went back to our notes of where we started. We completely went on a different path, but it was a much more advanced path, I think, for me, in that some of the things that you thought I wanted to do, I was doing. And I guess until someone told you, well, you're already doing that, so let's move forward. And the accountability that went with that. So at the end of the actual 6 months, Timo just said, let's meet for a couple more meetings. And we just organically made some time and we did that online. And that I thought was just as amazing as meeting in person. But it was always nice to have, you know, a coffee together. And I think that made it a little bit more it did make it a little bit. It was a Friday afternoon and we would have, you know, a coffee and a chat, and it became a little bit more, it was more relaxing, I think.
Yeah, okay. A little bit more conversational, I suppose, and not necessarily too stiff and not too rigid in the end. I understand.
You wouldn't be able to envision myself being too formal, would you?
No, never. No, I mean, you know, it is quite surprising. I think that we're discovering a side of you today, Timo, which is like, Christine just said that you were fun from the first time you met her, which I find that really hard to believe. And you said that you relaxed. So like, but we have a very different person. Like, this has been transformative for you, Timo, hasn't it?
Look, in Germany, we always knew that people from France have the ability to walk through life without looking left, right, and center. Hence, the joy often, you know, doesn't affect them as much as those who have open eyes. I leave the rest with you, Arno.
I'll leave you two to it.
But I want to go back to some of the things that you said, Christine, because you talked about, you know, obviously, your kind of roadmap that you had at the beginning when you entered the program, and then you realized, you know, like, you know, how, that you went above and beyond what you had expected. How did that come about? Like, did you find that actually, yes, that you achieved a lot more than what you had expected in the first place?
I think so, because I initially I was thinking, okay, now what do I want to get out of this program? And that was something that we talked as well. Obviously, I had to have a bit of guidance for Timo so he could hone in on his expertise around that. But a lot of it was about, you know, the building self-confidence as well around things. Now, I'm quite confident I seem quite confident, but then, you know, that self-doubt. And then sometimes Timo would just say, you know, these are the five things we need to do. No procrastination, just get going with it. I would do it. And then those sort of walls would just fall away. And so then we'd be able to shoot off to another path and say, okay, what's the next thing we need to be doing? And so that's how it progressed further than what initially the gates were set around a perimeter, and we just sort of dropped the gates and off we went. So, and I still use the notes that I took. Sometimes I would come in and say, look, let's scrap everything we talked about, because I really, I think I overthought that, and really this is really the path I need to go. So, like as Timo said in the beginning, it was about looking in the mirror and saying, you know, is that really relevant, or is that really the path you want to go down? Or so, you know, there was a lot of that personal, knowing you, I guess, and letting go of a lot of stuff. I think that probably one of the things that I would say to someone who's wanting to do the time program, just start. I've been to a lot of the when people are graduating and they've gone with a list of 100 things and they've ticked off those 100 things plus another 100, and they're just excelling in their career, their own business, those sorts of things. And that, I think, is definitely one side of it. But there's another side where you just start, and it will evolve. What you need to get out of it will come, and it will be guided. Hopefully, if you have someone that's got some insight like Timo, he can guide you to, look, this is how I see it. And then you're like, wow, that's what I was looking for. You kind of have a bit of a light bulb moment throughout. So I think it's just a matter of just starting. No hesitation.
Yeah. Well, that's really a good point, because I think that sometimes you have a lot of people that are potentially interested in a time program, but the thing that they probably think that they need to have kind of a vision as to what they need to achieve there. And that probably is the reason why they're getting put off by joining. just because they don't necessarily have a clear vision as to what they're trying to achieve. What about you, Timo? Because I think that we never really had that kind of insight from the mentor as to what they took in from that experience.
You mean as the benefits for the mentor?
And the benefits for the mentor.
Yeah. actually, quite a few. Which before, obviously, this was the first time I had a mentee matched with myself. So I wasn't really sure what to expect for myself. And Friday afternoon is very often a difficult time to actually free up your calendar. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it was really tremendous effort, but then my German schedule kicked in and was just like, no, this has to be done. And honestly, every time we met and when I left, I just felt so balanced and so in line, because it's hard to describe, but taking 2 hours out of your schedule and fully focus on someone else is such a rewarding and energizing process for oneself. And often I went out and thought, the things I was worried about 3 hours ago were actually so tiny and so unnecessary. So it really brought me also back on the page where I wanted to be. So there's a lot of reflective work also happening for the mentor through your mentee. And what I in general love to do, if someone has an idea, and that might be in a mentee context or in a staff context, what they want to do with their life. Okay, let's take it serious for an hour and really talk it through and remove all the hurdles that are potentially there, as in I don't have money to do this, or I don't have this, or whatever it is. Let's just assume that's not there and really make that idea alive. And then you very often see what's the true motivation behind it, because often the idea is just a reflection of something else that's the actual place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And while you listen to that stories and those ideas being deconstructed and going back to the actual parts, that's also happening a lot for you as a mentor, at least for me. And that was for me, I kind of had a feeling, yes, I'm mentoring something, but also I'm growing myself in the same time and learning so much from Christine, because, you know, with her being vulnerable and giving all that information and energy to me, there's huge learnings for me as well.
How does that make you feel, Christine?
Yeah, well, I had a little tear there for a minute.
It sounds like a therapist. Like, how do you feel about that?
It's actually.
Did you see that I worked in talk shows all my life?
Actually, it was quite funny at the when we had our first introduction at the time meeting, and I remember Penny saying that to everyone, and just remember, they're not your therapist. Keep that for your hairdresser. So that actually stayed in the back of my mind. But I think sometimes, like Timo said, you have to be vulnerable. If he doesn't know who I am, then how is he going to, you know, understand the why, you know? And that was probably the biggest thing, was what is the why behind that? And I think you might have said that quite a few times, you know. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe you're right. Let's scrap that and move on, you know. So, I remember actually in my graduation, and I had a bit of a theme around it, because I felt that I was one of those people that just, you know, you do the right thing, you stay in a role, and did you really think about what that meant for you? Was that growth for the next role, things like that? And so I likened myself to a blue wiggle, unlike the yellow wiggle that's on today.
I do love my yellow jumper.
The theme of the yellow, so that wiggle theme, because it was like I the negative connotation I had towards, you know, being a blue wiggle, which was always the last one standing, last one to lead, mm-hmm. last one to do, you know, and you just kind of, but then by the end of it, the whole thing had shifted, because the blue wiggle actually is there as a guide, as a mentor himself, because of all the new people that are coming in. So it was a complete mind shift. And that's kind of what the only way I could really explain it, I guess, was to put it into that sort of analogy. So yeah, it was definitely a mind shift.
It's a shame that at your graduation, you didn't actually sing a song from the Wiggles. I was expecting that a little bit. But hey, you know, like,
there you go.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Thank you, Christine. New career path for you.
Yeah, having a theme was an easier way to put it together. But and we had a bit of a I didn't really tell and look, I did the other side of it. I just wanted to add, which I should have said in the beginning, was you know, I said to that Timo is a really fun guy and he's very light and whatever, but you know, it's so motivating because the motivation, the internal motivation that Timo has is just like no other. I've not, you know, he's not only with his team at his job as GM of the hotel, and he had some team members there that couldn't speak highly enough of Timo as a manager. He also, the tennis, professional tennis that you do, your acting,
yes,
all of those things. And it was just like, here's me trying to fit in. And you, like you said, Timo, you gave up that 2 hours. Here's me trying to fit in 2 hours. And then you kind of go, wow, you know. So my commitment, knowing what he was giving up or what he was doing as well as, really did, really did make it, you know, make me want to commit even more. So, no, I think it was all round. I just think it was a really positive experience.
Wonderful. And, are you committing that you're going to go and cheer him up at the Australian Open next year in January when he's going to play the tournament?
I think
I haven't announced yet that I'm playing, but thanks for
sharing. Oops.
Yes, I am playing again, yes.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
So where is this relationship at now? Like, so obviously you graduated when? Like at the beginning of 2023 or like early 2023, like February maybe.
Yeah.
And since what's been, what's, yeah, where is this relationship at? Like, do you catch up still, the two of you? How regular is it, and what do you talk about?
We don't catch up on a regular basis, but when we go to the time functions, we're the first two people to gravitate, I guess, and say hi.
Aww.
Yeah, and I think for my point of view, it's, we see each other rarely now, obviously, because we're both busy. And, you know, I think it's also part of the relationship after a while to let go and send, you know, the kids to walk their own ways. But whenever we see each other, it's like no time has passed. You know, I'm always there. Last time we spoke about a couple of things that were happening that were just, you know, on the daily news for your life. And there's no start, slow down period or something. It's just straight into it. We can talk. We know each other. We know whatever has been discussed is, you know, kept very confidential. I would never ever talk to someone about, oh, I had this mentee, like even if outside of the industry or something, you know, it's just in a private place. And that's where it stays. And it just helps, you know, it just helps. And yeah, that's, I think that goes both ways. Right, Christine.
Yeah.
It's been, I just wanted to quickly touch base on what you said with you know, finding yourself as the Blue Wiggler. I think the big point there was finding purpose in the setup that before you probably didn't see as much purpose. To, you know, just break it down to into one sentence. And a hugely powerful experience, I would say, then in hindsight. And we didn't know that's where it goes, obviously, in the beginning. It's not like you sit there as a mentor on session two and, you know, okay, now the next 8 sessions, this is going to happen and this will he or she will be at the end of the program. So that was very unsure. It could have gone either way. And obviously, you will need to keep it open to stay open as well, keep an open mind to wherever it goes and support. But I was so happy with that progress and process for yourself. And I know whenever I see the other mentors sitting when their mentee is graduating and they do the speech and you sit there or you see them sitting there and think like, oh yeah, okay, whatever, don't be so emotional. But when I was sitting there, I was on the side, I was like, oh yes, I'm so happy. it's so hard to describe. It's a very special moment for the mentor to see you guys up there then and just share those 3 minutes. And obviously it's just a very, very small spotlight of everything. But yeah, it makes you incredibly proud, not of yourself, but for the other person. Yeah.
That's good. You should be proud of yourself, though, because like I said, you know, not only did you commit the time, but you also were vulnerable as well, you know. So, yeah, it was a very equal, you know, match, I think, when it came to that. So, yeah, I did say to Timo that I would love to do this again, but I love being involved in the time, like whether it be on the panel or I did I think I emceed one time. Next time, I guess, now that I've got what I've got out of the first time, I'd love to sort of have a particular goal. And the other things that I really liked was Timo did a workshop. You did one of the workshops on social media, I think, as well, didn't you? So those workshops, yeah. I just feel like they're just spending that extra hour before the actual time function is invaluable as well. I mean, you know, you can do that sort of stuff. You can do online, of course. How many of those LinkedIn learnings, you know, do you sign up for? And then I start, and then I, you know, press pause, and then it's still reduced probably a week later, and then I'm like, oh, I'm just never going to get there. So I think sometimes going and just doing those face-to-face is actually a good thing. And Timo in that as well, it wasn't just standing up the front talking. He goes, okay, this is called a workshop. You have to actually work. So he made everyone start, you know, doing their first. Well, I think there was one lady there, Timo, who had her own business, and she did her very first post that day. You know, and so it's like once you've done one, off you go. So yeah, so there's added benefits, I think, as well keep everyone going.
That was a really good workshop, actually. I've got to say, I think in the next time event, there's also going to be another workshop on LinkedIn. So that's actually quite good, because it's a good way for us to promote our businesses, what we do, but also promote us ourselves, you know, in our line of work. And so I think it's
it was a good one.
You did really well,
isn't it? Get you started. You just got to start.
Yes.
Just got
correct.
To start.
Yes.
And I like I always like your posts on LinkedIn, and I don't make many comments, but on both of you, I always try and let you know I'm thinking of you.
I know. It's always very very proactive in sharing his company news and whatever, which that's a great example, because obviously I follow you on LinkedIn, and a lot I learn actually just from you sharing. It just shows, you know, it is a very effective tool. And back to the workshops, you know, some small things like that, hearing that from other people, oh yes, I know this and this and this is about your company because someone else has shared it. Mm-hmm. A lot of time those people who post the content are not aware. That it actually has so much impact and people do remember it as well. And then obviously if you're more strategic with it and you use it for your personal branding and you use it for how you want to be perceived in the industry, that message is definitely spread. Even if you don't get 5,000 likes, if you don't get 30 likes, you might get 5 likes, but 30 people do remember, okay, Arno was posting about, I don't know, the new business class seat. We talked about that 50,000 times.
Oh my God, yes. That business class seat when I worked at Finnair, like, you know, I'd say that half of the industry had no idea what was going on, but, you know, half of the industry saw that post. So they knew what the Finnair business class seat looked like. And now that, you know, Finnair is operating some flights on behalf of Qantas at the end of this month, a lot of people are very familiar with this product because they saw it, like, because I used to post like 10 times a day. I didn't care. I was like, I'm going to broadcast it. Also because I was a one-man band, you know, I didn't have the sales force to go on the road and then promote the company and you know, showcase all the products and all that sort of stuff. So for me, LinkedIn was a good way to, you know, like to reach out to all these people that I couldn't have reached, you know, in a traditional kind of, you know, way. So it really served the purpose, and it was a great tool.
But just for the records, I wouldn't recommend posting 10 times a day every day.
I know, but I thought, if I schedule, you're like, I couldn't be bothered, so I just posted as much as I could.
I actually like that as a name for a podcast. I know.
Loving it. Here we go.
You can have that one.
Thank you. I give credit to you when I make a very successful podcast, you know, title like this, you will get full credit on this.
You did word that wrong. When you make another very successful podcast.
Yes, another very successful.
Yeah. Words do matter sometimes.
Oh, I
want to. Christine from...
Yes, go ahead.
After all your experience now with, obviously, with me, with the Time community, the networking, the workshops, so you have a very good overview. You've graduated a while ago, so you see what happens after graduation. Who do you think are the right candidates to potentially consider a mentorship there?
I think anyone, honestly. I think everyone in their stage of career, whether they've, wanting to change roles, they're feeling stale in what they're doing. A lot of people that I think were in my program were someone after COVID, they'd been promoted and they really needed to have that guidance to get them through that new role, because often the the managers and what have you that they've had left or what have you. So, but honestly, I think anyone, I mean, like I said, I'm later in my career, so and so for me to do it, and I think even if you just need some motivation, or if you need, I think anyone should do it. But I would definitely run to sign up for Time if you are early in your career and you really want some guidance to, because really you should be mapping out, 5 years in advance where I want to be, that sort of thing. So if you want someone and it's something, look at your weak point. If it's, I just don't have the confidence to ask the question of where I need to go next, then find someone that will help you with that. You know, find someone that's maybe got a HR background. If it's someone that can help you with social media, because you've got your own business now and you want to actually do, like I know, you want to actually, one man band, you want to be able to promoting all the time, then just do it. So it really is opened up to everyone, I think. So I wouldn't say that it's not suitable for a particular person. I think, that's a good idea what you said before. Just have a look in the mirror and see, if you really are in need of some sort of guidance or would like to have some sort of guidance, So, I would run. I wouldn't walk. I would run and sign up.
Nice. And a thing, it became a habit on the show, introduced by the French part of the show.
Yes.
To share, as the French part says, a dark secret about yourself.
Mm.
So now it's a great opportunity to share with the world something that is definitely not on your CV and pretty much no one knows about you.
Okay, well, I'll just tell you. I have a very sweet tooth. I love chocolate. I just love anything sweet. So I'm trying really hard to pull back on sugar. And I used to do things like, I'll tell you this really funny thing to try and stop myself from sugar. It used to be just anything. I don't have sugar in tea, coffee. It's lollies, chocolate. I've got it down to a fine art of just chocolate now. So how I did that was I would be out on the road. I'd be craving to have some sort of, lolly or something. So I'd go in and buy a packet of sort of like dupes. I'd go into maybe, if I was in a shopping center, I'd go into Woolies or Coles or whatever. I'd find the cheapest, nastiest dupey lollies that you could find. It would be $1, for a packet of the really yucky lollies. And then I would go outside, and as I was walking around, I'd just be eating them. Once I would take a handful out, and then I'd get to the bin and I'd throw them out, and then I'd eat that handful. And they'd make me feel so sick that I would go back for more. So, I've got a terrible addiction to sugar. But I've cut the sugar, and it's more about chocolate now. So that's probably as dark as it gets. I'm sorry.
I love the conditioning part, though. That is very intense, but very effective. Well done.
Sounds very German. I thought that, that's kind of like... I'm saying that because I've flown with a German airline very recently, and it's exactly how I got treated. So,
What, they threw...
That's how you got treated?
I only get you a handful of that's all you got.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, they were actually really good, but it's I mean, now that I understand that you have a sweet tooth, I understand why you like Timo so much, because you felt that he was really sweet. Why?
Oh, there you go.
Thank you. I know it was cheesy, but I take it.
Yeah, I agree.
I can get it. Making pop demands.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, we're already on 40 minutes. Thank you so much for your time, Christine. And thank you, Arno, for taking over this podcast, because obviously I couldn't ask too many questions.
Of course.
Being involved myself. But I really enjoyed having that chat. And I hope it will inspire everyone out there to join the community as well, to join us at a networking event, to have the first experience potentially, and to get to know us.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Wonderful. It's lovely to see you guys again. You're doing a great job bringing this
together. Thank you so much. Thank you. Appreciate that.
See you too.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Happy days, everyone. Happy weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Happy weekend.
Bye.
Bye.
For now.